We'll go ahead and call the meeting in order. We'll start with the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, we got some additions I want to add to our agenda over here. We want to add A2H, Cast and Fire Relief Raffle Permit, A2I, Sewer Forgiveness Request for Traum, and then we want to add L1, Closed Session for the Norrie Litigation with our attorney. Is there anything else anybody has? Not, I take a motion to approve the agenda.
Make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. Consent agenda, is there any item on there? Not, I would take a motion to approve.
Make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Up next, we got visitor to council, Jim Finn, Big Iron Classic.
Myself, Jim Finn, and George Arndt, he's one of my board members, or one of the board members of the Big Iron Classic. And we got a couple items, I guess. The first one would be the truck parade permit. I dropped off that route with you. Just wanted, was everything okay with that? Do we have to do anything?
That approved in the consent agenda.
Oh, it did? Okay.
The truck parade one is good.
Oh, okay. We want to cover the other stuff, or do you got to wait? Or?
No.
Oh. Okay. So we were wondering about shutting that street down again, 5th Avenue between 11th and 10th Street, during the show, just for the golf carts to cross for the campground over there. It's more of a safety issue. It's just nice to have that. It just kind of so they can get out there and they don't have to be bothered. You know, we don't bother anybody. If we could do that again, if that would be a possibility. It seemed to work really good. Was it not last year, the year before when we did it? Everybody seemed to be real happy with what the security was. The police department, I thought, seemed to be all happy with it. We didn't know we had to come up every year and renew it. So it's 25 years, it's a learning curve. Every year, I ain't gonna lie. So I don't know what could we do anything there, or what do you guys think?
So as of right now, the chief is on vacation, so I want to wait until he's back so we can talk to him. And then we've had a couple complaints from the school in the past, so I just want to talk to them and make sure that everything's okay on their end. And the superintendent's on vacation also, and she's new this year.
What were the complaints yet? Because
The mess. There was beer cans all the way up into the elementary school.
Okay, so just to clarify that, you'll get it from her too, but we actually talked to her, and she got that rumor or complaint. She went and drove out there, and there was nothing. That's one thing I am we are very adamant about, making sure that the school grounds are spotless and everything around there. I mean, we go out 5 blocks around. So
we want to just kind of wait until we can talk to them both and make sure, now that she's new. And
okay. And then the golf cart deal, do we want to do the same thing with the permits like we did last year, as far as how do we do it? We did everything up there. And then we wrote a check to the city, as I believe the way we did it last year.
Yeah.
Maybe another thing to talk to the police department.
And I'll talk to the police department about that too.
Okay.
Just make sure that we're on the same page with them.
Okay. And then the other thing I just wanted to throw in there too is, like, on them golf carts, I know we got their route uptown, but if there would be any way they could run over to Dollar General and stuff. There was a couple guys I asked last year, this Jesse Lambrick, they come down and his wife met him, and they thought it was so cool, the toy deal for the kids. So they went over and pretty much bought out Dollar General like 2 or 3 years ago. Well, last year they were under the impression they couldn't go over there with their golf cart. So
they should be able to cross Highway 57 as long as they're not driving on Highway 57.
On 57, okay.
So, I mean, if you come along on 11th there, you should be able to cross and then go across, as long as obviously there's traffic. But
okay.
You just can't drive along the state highway.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, the last couple of years, everything's been so scrambled. Everybody was panicking, you know, and trying to do their thing. So
sure, yeah, that'd be the same thing if people are going down to the downtown, if they want to go to the municipal or something like that. they just can't go along 57. They can come down on one of the side roads and then cross at the roundabout, the main roundabout, but they just can't go along that.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the state doesn't allow that.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem otherwise, though.
But they were under the impression, because it didn't get out to the police department, and people in golf carts were getting their butts chewed for going over there. Mm-hmm. So they come back, and they're like, well, what are we doing? So we'd like to have that all clarified so mm-hmm. all the police know, you know, because it's just every dollar that doesn't get spent in town is a tax dollar that doesn't go here. And you own the liquor store, and you know how much money that brings into this town that week. So I'd like to keep it going for you guys, us, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So, perfect. I guess that's all I got. Do you have anything, George?
No, that's it. Just get things clarified and hear from the chief. That'd be great. We'd sure appreciate it.
All right.
Cool. Great. Well, thank you for your time.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Mayor's report, nothing. There's no public forum. Public hearing. Committee report. Planning Commission.
All right, so one item from the Planning Commission for you this evening, having to do with SEMCAC's proposal to purchase 202 Fifth Street Southeast and consolidate several of their services in that building under one roof. Several of those services falling under the social assistance principal use, which is allowed within the I-1 Business Park Light Industrial Zoning District. And then the additional item would be a conditional use permit allowing for the Head Start as a form of child care. So previously the council did approve a zoning text amendment that would allow for accessory use child care to non-residential principal uses within non-residential zoning districts. So up here on the screen, I've got the proposed site plan for what they'd like to do. Very minimal improvements to the inside of the building, considering it was already kind of set up for that social assistance type of use. The big addition to the outside is really just the outdoor play area for a total of 1,815 square feet of play area. You can see the fenced-in area at the front of the building, between the building and the street. And then also the site plan shows the traffic pattern for pickup and drop-off for the students. The students show up, pickup and drop-off, it's tied to the regular school calendar and the school year. So just keeping that in mind, it's not full year necessarily, just response to the school calendar, really.
And can you pan down on that just so you see the turn radius there?
Yeah, so down there is the turn.
That's a little tight there. Do you have any concerns with that?
I don't.
Mm. Could they go around their garage?
Or that's another option.
Could they just keep driving and go?
Well, otherwise they'd have to take a couple parking spots out so people could kind of loop.
Yeah.
Do they?
Which,
I
but
mean,
then.
Maybe one of those things where we just have to figure out how it works a little bit once they start doing it.
It depends on your vehicle.
Maybe better for them, like you said.
Not sure that radius.
Around the garage and the phones of the time. Maybe depending on the size of the vehicle.
Perhaps.
You get a couple of really big trucks in there, it's going to make a really tight turn
right.
radius, you know.
But shorter, it depends what.
Shorter vehicles wouldn't be.
They
around.
Did mention that a bunch of the students come in on bus, too.
Yeah,
so
too.
They not their entire enrolment of 15 is coming in individually,
well,
cars, too.
Yeah. And they could put a compact parking only in a couple of spots.
Right on the end lot spots there. That
right about where the radius is, you can.
I haven't been back and behind.
I haven't either.
See what the turn radius looks like, but
would it be a school bus or like SEMCAC bus?
SEMCAC
yeah,
bus.
They're here, so I don't know.
It's a SEMCAC bus.
Yep.
These Rolling Hill Transit buses.
Yep.
Sure. So, maybe something to look at. Going forward, but bottom line, we're not anticipating generating a significant amount of traffic on the street during pickup and drop-off times. They also noted a maximum of like 11 staff between all of their programs, which don't necessarily happen all at the same time either, but 11 staff for that. And so, let's see, we did have the public hearing for that on Monday evening. Staff also recommended a number of conditions of approval going with the conditional use permit. The first four of those come directly from the city code. Those have to do with access, drop-off areas, and the outdoor play area. The outdoor play area also has some specific guidelines from the state that have to be followed. So the condition for that one just kind of refers to that item. But all of those other four conditions do match up, and then two additional conditions just requiring the facility to meet all the applicable licensing requirements set by the state, and then the Head Start has some federal guidelines as well, considering it's a federal program. And then finally, the sixth condition just says that if there's any change to the principal use, like in a hypothetical situation where SEMCAC has to move out of this building and then sell to a different user, if there's any change to that principal use, then this conditional use permit would have to be amended. That way we can evaluate the conditions, see if there's anything else that would need to change as far as those conditions go, or even, you know, remove the conditional use permit entirely if they're just not going to use it as a childcare facility. Let's see. But other than that, we feel that the conditional use permit is all in line with the city code and the guidance of the comprehensive plan. No real issues that we anticipate at this time. If there's any questions from the council.
I was just looking at the picture. What did you say the outdoor storage play area was? I thought it says 14.
Yeah, so there's 1440 up here, and then there's an additional 375 on the side.
I thought you said like 1,000 something.
Yeah, 1,815.
Okay, just so I was confused. That's, so, but there was two play areas. So just make verifying.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess like the only concern I have is just that turning radius, but then that's something they can work with as they go. They won't know until they can
practice.
Yeah.
Bring a bus up there and check it out. That might
be good. But then I think that's nothing to hold up on. Is there anything else from planning and zoning Monday night?
I'd just say that I think the commission was all quite positive on it. Ian did a good job laying out all these conditions. Like he's mentioned, like a bunch of these conditions are already met just by the location of the property. So I think this is a good thing.
Okay. Sounds like a motion, maybe?
Yeah. So I guess I would look for a motion to approve.
Make the motion to approve.
Brian, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Well, okay. Thanks, Paul. It was like, all in favor?
Aye.
Oppose?
Abstain.
Okay. All right. That is good. Next is our EDA annual report.
Thank you. Just a couple of things here to highlight with the EDA's annual report for 2025. Another great year for the EDA. Let's see. We started things off with our 2025 through 2027 work plan and identified four different pillars to work on throughout the next couple of years, including business growth and retention, workforce and housing, infrastructure and redevelopment, and communication and engagement. Each of those come with different outcomes and different specific goals falling under them, so we'll kind of see as we go along our progress towards each of those items. Let's see, as far as TIF projects and land development projects go, there's a number of pretty significant things that happened. First of all, the 504 development folks did request and were approved for a 26-year pay-as-you-go TIF program valued at almost $2.1 million. However, they did, that was more than what they actually asked for, but that's typical when it comes to TIF projects. Let's see, and as you know, that's already being constructed out by the school. The 39-unit apartment building should be opening up sometime this summer. Let's see, And then also a number of other TIF projects had some pretty significant movements as well. The 48-unit Edge Apartments out in the Vail subdivision opened up in August. And then Schramm Constructions, Reagan Edition, their 52 units of townhomes also started last year in 2025. Then as far as some development items go, as you know, the cemetery land in Southwest Casson has been a pretty big goal of the EDA for the past years. The thing that happened with that was the city sold 19 acres to the Windsor Court folks. For their 87-unit manufactured home community that's now being started to being constructed. And then the city did apply for a grant through the Greater Minnesota Housing Infrastructure Grant and was successful in receiving a grant in the amount of up to $500,000 or 50% of the capital costs going towards public infrastructure improvements that are needed to develop the west side of that subdivision. And let's see, another big highlight was the REV program. Last summer we did have a series of workshops focused on different topics for entrepreneurs, focusing on business plan development, starting a business, marketing, funding a business, and cash flow management. We probably had an average of 12 participants at each of those workshops. That was in collaboration with the Small Business Development Center, so felt overall pretty satisfied with participation there. And then after that program, well, the workshop series concluded, the next REV project has to do with the CRM, which was just purchased recently and is starting to be implemented now in the start of this year. And then just a couple of other things. The EDA approved and issued one facade grant that was to the Smoke and Silverback, which they used for new signage. And then the signs are still there, yes. And then let's see. The EDA also approved or recommended approval for a $50,000 loan to House of Hoops, which is supposed to go on Main Street. Haven't heard many updates on that more recently, though. I believe they're maybe looking at going into the historic school, but as far as loan goes, not so sure about that. Probably something to check in on. And let's see. Thank you to the council for supporting some professional development items throughout the year. I was fortunate to be able to attend a business retention and expansion course in April last year, and then I also attended the American Planning Association Minnesota Chapters conference last September. So thank you for allowing that to happen and supporting professional development of all the staff here at the city. So. That's pretty much the highlights for the EDA of last year. If there's any questions.
If the House of Hoops wants to look at the historical building, if they're looking to move over there, will that loan not follow it?
No, I think it would have more to do with the business and then the location.
Right, yeah.
I'm not sure what his status is. You know, we haven't heard a lot, so.
Yeah. Nice to get an update on that.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, the only thing I would say is, you know, we are looking for more EDA members, so that is something we need to, you know, we're short a few. We've got some really dedicated folks who've been on for a couple of years now, but I know that, are we short two right now?
Well, that's depending upon the situation with the chamber. I know since Tom Munson was serving as a sort of liaison to the chamber, but now he's moved over to just a regular member seat. Supposed to be someone from the new chamber board going to serve. But that would be another thing.
Have you heard from them at all?
No, not really.
And then we have a new member that started in January, hasn't made it either.
Yeah, that too.
Who's also on the chamber board?
Who's also supposed to be on the chamber board and hasn't been, wasn't there today at least. But yes. Things to check on.
So yes, we're still looking for anybody that would like to step up and be on the EDA board. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ian.
Thanks.
Old business, the wastewater treatment plant gate.
Oh, you have the email from our wastewater supervisor in your packet. It's a project we talked about last year a little bit. They went for a grant. They didn't get the grant. So he's bringing it back, and you can see what his recommendation is. They did budget for the recommendation that he has, so it would be coming out of the sewer plant's budget. So I think, you know, as a safety thing, I think it is something they want to move forward with. If you have any questions on it, I can certainly take them back to him. You know, there's a little bit more expensive option, but I think with the age of that, it probably makes sense for us to get something new as opposed to trying to dry rig something that's used. And they did budget for it. So, you know, that was one of the issues last year when I told them, I said, well, you didn't budget for it, so it's a little harder to approve something we didn't budget for. But if it is budgeted, then it makes sense for us to proceed, I think.
I think it's well needed. We want to protect that back there. And it is, you know, going to speed up their time if they don't have to get out and try to move.
Well, I mean, one thing, I mean, a couple of years ago, we added a, you know, a fence structure to, or a gate to the fire, you know, to the tree, the brush pile.
Yep.
And I guess from my perspective, if we're going to have a gate on that,
we should have,
you know,
it on
for
the
a safety thing, why wouldn't we have a gate on the sewer plant, which seems like a bigger risk to me.
Yeah,
so.
Bigger.
Yes. Let's up the council. Like I said, if there's any questions, I'll be glad to take it back to them.
We got none. I guess I would take a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the recommended new gate.
So alternative one?
Yeah.
Right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ryan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll let him know.
New business, the mowing contract.
I think Charlie's provided the information for the mowing contract, so we have a similar, the same vendor as last year. Actually, a reduction in acreage, a slight reduction, about 5 acres less, I think. And due to some of the ground-mounted solar installations we're going to be having, so we'll be doing some of the maintenance mowing there internally instead, which actually might be a better, end up being a better result for the some of the staff anyway, so they see the facilities a little bit more often. So it's a slight reduction in cost for us overall. So I think we were satisfied with the mower last year. We had a lot of positive comments, especially the cemetery is always one of the areas we're very sensitive of, and I think they did a good job there, and they're very interested in continuing the association with the city for another year. So we're recommending approval of that contract.
Anybody got any other questions for Tim? Or not, I would take a motion to approve the new mowing contract.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mel. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ryan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Up next, people's contract. This is all yours, Tim.
All right. And that's why I'm here tonight, because I figured I could let Linda present it, but she might not be able to answer questions quite as well. Anyway, back in December, there were two council members missing. But we did approve moving forward with this acquisition, as I think Ryan, you were here, Dan was here, and Sheldon was here. Paul was out, I think, on maybe a work trip, I don't remember. And I think you were out of town, too, when we did that. Anyway, I had said at that point in time that I appreciated the approval to move forward, but I wanted to bring the contract back before we did any final approvals. So you've got that in the packet. You can see it has been vetted by Richard Heineman, who's our electrical attorney. He works with us through Compass and through a bunch of different things. And, you know, you can see the map there, the last page there. And we've talked about this for, I don't know, this has been 3 years, I think, because there was a clause in the original contract with Peoples back in 2012 that we had to give them 3 years' notice. And so 3 years ago in March, we gave them notice. And so March of last year, we started negotiating with them finally to come to having a relatively straightforward contract. You can see that map there of the areas. It's primarily on the south side of Casson. You've got South Fork, South Point, the Windsor Court expansion, the southwest land that the city owns, and then the Windsor Court, trailer court itself. So I think all told there's about 357 customers. Two of them are commercial, the rest are residential, and there's a couple of street lights or a couple of lights, security lights that are technically contracts. Technically speaking, we are a member of People's Co-op with the lights that we have at the cemetery. So we'll be buying back that account from them ourselves. So anyway, you know, and you've got the numbers there too in terms of costs. Obviously, it's not a cheap thing, but they are real customers. We are
going to see that as accretive to the earnings for the utility. We're long on power, so power for this area is not an issue. You know, we're long on our contracts, so providing power to them through our contracts that we already have negotiated will be won't be an issue. We're anticipating about 1 to 1.5 megawatts load in the summertime during their peak, and about $450,000 of revenue based on the current rates. That'll change, obviously, over time. So I don't know if there's any questions anyone has, I'd be glad to take those. Otherwise, with this, we would complete the council's directive to serve all of Casson's residents as a utility.
Yeah, a couple of things. Sure. I'm looking at Exhibit 2 with numbers. I guess I'm not understanding fully. What is the total? Are we paying like a lump sum and then this whole thing goes away? Because I see an existing customers and then I see a future customer that says per kilowatt hour sold. So,
sure.
Like, what is that actually costing us?
Well, so the cost right now would be the combination of that avoided cost, that LOOCLD, that mm-hmm. number. And these are trade secret numbers, so that's why we're kind of talking about that we are in open session. But, you know, it is something that it's a trade secret. So, anyway, the existing customers and then that 70,000 would be added onto the other number there. And then those two would be paying now. The additional customers is the customers that we're taking in the area that's expanding with Windsor Court. So obviously we, you know, it's platted for 78 parcels, and that's a good point, because if we want to try and acquire that now, in the past, like Excel has allowed us to buy future customers, and they've just said, hey, you know, show us the plat, it's platted for 35 houses, we'll pay for 35 houses and we won't worry about it. Peoples doesn't want to really want to do that. They want to see the actual customers, and I think, you know, I think we all know it's going to be residential there, but their fear is, oh, well, you paid us for residential customers, and then all of a sudden you've got this big industrial customer that's a way bigger load, and you're not, you know, we're not receiving fair value. So the way that would work is that as those new customers, for example, in the Schrader expansion come on, we track their kilowatts sold for 10 years, and we pay this mill rate times the kilowatt hours that are sold. So okay. Let's just say you have a regular house in town and you have 750 kilowatt hours that you use a month. That's mm-hmm. not an unusual number. I think that's about what I use every month. So we multiply that times that mill rate, you know, and then at the end of the year, for 10 years, we have to make a payment to Peoples. Now, what I would like to do is, I'd like to see the contract approved, but then I would like to come back to them and say, hey, what about just buying it out at the current terms for existing customers? You know, are they open to that? That's my last question, and I appreciate you bringing it up, because it works well for us with Excel. Now, at the same time, we have made acquisitions in the past where we bought the property that Carter Blaine owns up in the Northeast that we had some back and forth with him about a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. We bought that from Excel. Well, 5 years later, there are no houses on that property yet. So we already paid for it, even though we don't have the customers. So it's kind of a one side or the other. The nice thing is that you own it and you're done. If it's a smaller area, saying, okay, well, we're going to buy 10, it's going to cost us X, we're done. We just don't have to worry about tracking it, because mm-hmm. it is tracking work for our staff. Mm-hmm. Every year, at the end of the year, Jessica's going to have to go, okay, well, you use 700 times 12, so you use whatever, 10,000 kilowatt hours times that mill rate. That would be the payment that we would make for those 10 years. At the end of that time period, then we wouldn't have to make any more payments on it. Okay. So that's only for future customers. Current customers, we already have all the numbers. Peoples already has all the numbers, and those are the numbers that we're paying for.
Okay, so yeah, so we've got a lump sum of 1.6 plus 70, and then an annual payment of 65 just based upon usage. And I assume that 65 is relatively close to what they're being charged?
No, it wouldn't be their whole charge. I mean, the mill rate's based on what they see as their avoided cost. So they're not going to have buy power for those people anymore. So they see that as what avoided cost would be. So it wouldn't be what they're it wouldn't be the charge the customer would be seeing. It would be the charge that Peoples would be paying to their supplier for power.
I see. Okay. And then so what you were saying is that in the event, since this is a 10-year contract, in the event that the development was slow, this is actually a benefit to us. When the development's quick,
yeah, because we wouldn't be paying up front. Right? We wouldn't be paying up front, so we wouldn't see that. I mean, it's like I don't want to call it a mortgage. It's not, but it's in essence you're paying for what you bought, right? You know, and I mean, I guess to the perspective of we're paying for what we can buy that's accretive to our earnings right away. I know how much that costs and how much it mm-hmm. can generate. I can make that equation. I don't know how fast it's going to fill in. I suspect that the Schrader development will move pretty quickly, but you know, it could be 5 years before that fills in all completely. It's very possible.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
And then I think you mentioned somewhere in here maybe it's not in this document I'm looking at, but that your intent is to hold legacy rates. And I assume what you mean is that whatever people's currently charging them, we're going to hold that. And I assume that's going to be until our city rate either catches up and surpasses that or until this 10 years is up.
That's the goal. Yeah, the goal is to not see, you know, so that those customers don't see any large increases to their bill. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you.
And this could benefit the city because we'll have a larger district.
Right? Yeah, we'll have more customers. We'll have greater buying power when we go to the market to renew our contracts. I mean, as you all, and maybe, I think we've talked about it a little bit, most of our contracts are coming off in 2030 and 2032 for our power contracts. So when I go in, we go in for negotiations, I could say, okay, well, instead of having a 12.5 peak megawatt load, now I have a 14 megawatt load, which obviously it's not that much bigger, but it still makes it a little bit more buying power, in essence, for power. Mm-hmm. You know, we can go, okay, we can get a little bit bigger piece of some pie than we would be able to do right now. And, I mean, I think the goal from the directive from 3 or 4 years ago was the city of Casson wants to serve all of its residents. You know, to a certain extent, I think, you know, folks down in South Fork are, they're in association, so it's a little different already because, they, you know, we don't plow the streets down there. We don't really do the water. And I think the goal is, and we know, and I've talked with the city engineer, you know, long enough that we know eventually we may have some assumption of utilities in that area if you know, depending on how things go over time. So this would be a nice step to have the electric there to begin with.
Any other questions?
That's a lot of words for me. I'm talking too much, Linda, right? I read quite a while already.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if you can go back after and just ask them about that.
Well, I mean, I can certainly say, you know, it was brought up at council to see if we could just acquire those additional 87 customers at the same rate and just be done with it. I think we have the cash flow to support that right now. I don't know what it's going to look like in 5 years or 10 years. Right. So.
That, I guess, if there's no more questions, I guess we'd take a motion to approve the contract.
Make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Just ask him about that one.
I sure will.
Up next, administrator's report.
So I've got a few things. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. City Hall, obviously, if you were... The sun's out now, as you can see what the building looks like during the meeting. And I really want to thank Linda and some of our public works staff. Linda really rode herd on the contractors. And obviously, this is a project we wanted to have finished last year. It got pushed back partly due to the weather. It was pretty cold. So I did note there that you'll see that budget go over because the payments that were budgeted for last year are coming out this year. But, you know, it was budgeted for last year. So even if it hits the fund balance, it shouldn't be a problem. I think it looks a ton better. I think we've already noticed that the wind isn't whistling through City Hall quite as strongly, so that's good. And like I said, thanks to Linda, especially for writing Kurt on that. Appreciate that. We talked about that People's Territory. Obviously, the legislative session started. MMB had their forecast come out last week. It was a good forecast, generally speaking, much more optimistic than they were in December. So technically speaking, if they don't make any changes, they could have a small projected $377 million surplus even after the next biennium budget. So, I mean, hopefully that means that the funding levels stay similar to where they are right now. Hopefully it means that they don't have to do any tax increases. That's certainly a goal. One thing that came out of the legislature as well is this bill here. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes. I suspect with the legislature so closely divided, the levy limits bill will probably be unlikely to pass. However, as part of a negotiated thing where I could see, you know, if Republicans want a levy limit and the Democrats want a bonding bill, I could see that being a compromise where they come back and say, and it's a little bit more complicated, I think, than they needed to make it. Frankly, they're talking about adding the rate of inflation and the locality's population growth with a maximum up to 3.5. So I mean, who determines those numbers? Like, is it the state? You know, does the state decide what numbers those are, how much your growth was? I don't know. To me, that seems like more complicated. I would just say he just set a number. And for example, I mean, if you go down to Iowa, and I know the WHKS works down in Iowa, Iowa's been under levy limits for the last 2 years already. And so, and a lot of it has to do with people being concerned about their property tax increases. And thankfully, we're growing at a rate that allows us to see some increases without having that affect people's property taxes as much. In certain parts of the state where you're seeing limited growth, you're seeing the actual increases being pretty substantial. I mean, to be honest with you, Minneapolis has seen double-digit, you know, property tax increases the last 4 years. So
some people will say, well, for, you know, my taxes are twice what they were 4 years ago, which is, I can understand how it's hard to stomach. So, I mean, in Iowa, the problem is that they put a pretty strict limit on it, and down there, what's happening is that cities are still increasing spending because, you know, wages go up, things go up. They're making one-time transfers in. So they're taking sewer water money and saying, okay, well, we'll do a one-time transfer to subsidize the general fund because we can't increase, which you can do maybe 1 or 2 years, but then once you have done that, now, you know, you don't want to, you know, property taxes should pay for certain things, the sewer should pay for the sewer. So I'm hopeful that, you know, things will get talked about and tweaked, and, you know, we're certainly prepared here. I know Sarah and I have talked about it already, being conservative with budgeting and making sure that we're, even though we're coming into a new contract year for the police department, trying to make sure that we're prepared for any changes that come from the state. So other than that, no, I have been out, and I appreciate all the staff doing such a good job of keeping me apprised. I'm not able to disconnect maybe quite as much from work as I should. My wife will tell you that. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm staying on top of most of the things going on pretty well. So anyway, any questions anybody has for me? The only other thing I have is the police or the fire chief did let me know that the assistant chief has notified him that he's retiring. CJ is going to be retiring in May. May 4th, I think, is the official date. So that position is one that technically is appointed by the council. So the fire chief is looking for participation from the council level for the interview process for that hiring, because we will be the ones appointing, or you will be the, as a council, be appointing that one officially. So he's asking whether the council would like to have participation on that interview panel. I'm guessing he'll likely bring in some of his own officers, but also probably some of the other chiefs in the area. That's typical, maybe bring in Manorville's or Dodge Center or Byron's chief to help kind of ask questions, because I would anticipate that the officers were probably the most likely ones to be applying for this position as well. So it kind of so anyway, so consider that, you know, let me know if you have any feedback, if you're available. I think it's been quite a while since they made that appointment. So CG's been there for quite a while, and obviously Joe has been there for over 10 years now. So it'll be a little bit different for us from what it was in you know, 10 years ago. So a lot of talking there again. If you're interested, let me know, though. Otherwise, I'll plan on participating on that hiring board, too, as a representative for the council. But I think if you have time, it would be great to have at least one council member in, you know, involved in that, because then that council member can bring back their feelings on the positions. Because, to be honest, the council makes the, you know, you make the appointment, and you may disagree with the recommendation from the chief or from the interview panel. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you have to make the best informed choice that you can about who you're hiring.
Being now that they're going to be looking for a new deputy chief, now I would think would be a good time before they do it. They got time to look and make a new job description for it.
Certainly, we could certainly take a look at updating that, Linda, if you would just take a look, and maybe we can do some red lines and bring that to council.
Yeah, so they know exactly what they're even getting into.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that sounds good.
And even we could look even through the chiefs.
Sure.
And just see what's on.
No, it's always good to update, especially if you haven't looked at it for a while. I think the last time that, was that 2017 when you guys did the last update to those job descriptions officially? I know we've tweaked some of them, but that's when David Drown did their last big overhaul. So it's probably been 8 years. So
yeah. I'd like to at least look at it.
When are they planning to start interviews?
I'm sorry, Mel.
Sorry. When are they planning to start interviews?
You know, it's not official until May 4th, so I would anticipate in May probably. They'll post it, and then, you know, May, early June, maybe have an appointment for that June meeting, I would think. That would be what I would encourage them to do. I think it's good to leave a nice window of time so that everybody who wants to could have a chance to apply. Otherwise, if you keep it short, sometimes people go, well, you know, you had somebody in mind before you opened it up. So
I would be interested if I am available.
Okay.
If it's in June, I guess.
Typically what we do is, if you're interested, I mean, two isn't a problem. However, even if there are more than two council members who are interested, that's fine. We just have to post that you're going to be in viewing, and there's no official business that would be accomplished during that meeting.
If it's in June, I'd be interested too.
Okay. So far, Ryan and Mel, let me know if you have time or you're interested. I know you get pretty busy in the summer doing a lot of stuff, but
I'll check.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. February forecast,
sure. Well, I did talk about that a little bit. That's the budget forecast. I included the executive summary in there for you. As I said, I mean, it's, I hate to say it, but I mean, if they would, the legislature would just leave it alone, I mean, it'd be great, because then they are, you know, the goal isn't to have a huge surplus, it's also not to be deficit spending, right? You want to be close to your budget, and within a $70 billion budget being $377 million surplus, it's pretty close, really. It's a small, I mean, I would, it would be ideal for the state of Minnesota to be a balanced budget without too much on either side. I would rather they didn't have to tweak it. So, all right, and I've encouraged that to our legislators. I said, hey, you know what, if it's working, you know, I'd always like it to be a little bit lower, but I'd also like to see us not have to raise taxes either. That'd be the goal, so.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
You bet.
Next, engineer's report.
All right. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Three items tonight. The first one being lead waterline service line replacement. In your council packet is a resolution to ultimately apply for the grant that we're looking at through the PFA. Lead service line's new to us, so it's been a trip here. But just a real high level, before we jump to the resolution, maybe to help new council member know kind of what we've been up against and what we've been working on and where kind of this is going. So back Flint, Michigan had a problem with their lead service lines. Federal government mandated this across the country, gave the power ultimately to the states, in this case, PFA to help us with some money here. We've been working directly with the Department of Health to ultimately work on some stuff that was looking at some records, looking at some pumps. We did some pump inspection, looking at these services to see which ones were not lead. So we've been working on that directly with them. That's been past council action. Staff's been in some of these houses, getting them kind of off the list to make sure that they're not lead. And then some of you even self-reported services may have got a letter from the city. What ultimately we got was we got down to 25 that we believe need to be replaced. They're either lead or galvanized, so that is a mandate that the federal government's put upon us. But as you're going to learn here, they have some grant money available. So where we're at now, again, this is money to replace the services. We're recommending to move forward because at the end of the day, the city's got some additional reporting that they have to do. If they're not all eliminated. So that is, you know, a problem or additional, maybe unfunded part of that mandate that is existing today that we want to obviously get rid of. And we want to reduce lead in our water lines, obviously, for the public good. So the resolution is to ultimately just move forward with applying for it. At a later date, we'll have an agreement with the PFA and then likely a draft agreement with the property owner because this is going to be a city lead project. Where we're going to go out, hire a contractor. They're going to dig up out in the street at the service line. We're going to dig at the curb stop in their boulevard, and then we're going to dig in the house where it comes into the house of the meter and replace from the entire meter from the street, the entire line from their meter out to the street by pulling a new water line in the old water line, potentially having to dig some up too. But so that's what the scope of work will be. So the city will have a contractor on board. You'll be contracting with that contractor, and then you will have a grant to ultimately get that reimbursed. The city does have 100% private water services, so that is going to be a grant if you had some city ownership of the water services, maybe a loan, which is what we're hearing. So that's going to be good from that perspective, that it does open up 100% grant with the PFA. I mentioned have an agreement with the property owner. Staff's talked about that. You know, we've had a petition and waiver program, but we're ultimately going to be on private property. So we have some examples from other towns that we're working with that we'll be working with the city attorney to ultimately protect us, right? Because we have a contractor in there and talk about warranty and getting stuff exposed because we're going to, you know, go into somebody's castle in their basement and water meter may not be there. They may have different expectations that we have and say, you need to open that up. That's on you to kind of get it exposed, and then we'll just replace to the meter, get the meter hooked back up, get you back going, but any restorations on you is, I think, where we're going to go. We'll work with the attorney to have that at a future meeting. So we also may be in a situation where people refuse to get their water service line, and then we'll just have to document that, and that'll help us kind of get off the list of services that we got to address. So that's where we're at. Again, this is just, they've asked us to do this application just to actually get the application process going. We'll be back at a future council meeting with that agreement with the PFA, assuming we move forward, in a draft agreement that we're going to recommend to have with the property owner to move forward with ultimately construction. They want us to do this all in 2026, so literally across the state. I don't know how many the number is, but we just don't think the contractors are going to be there to get all this done. Even the engineering firms are struggling. I mean, they were supposed to have this out to us early, but it's a new program with the state, so it's just kind of taking longer. So we'll see how that shakes out. This will probably spill into 27. Some cities are ahead of others. Some cities are already replacing this. Albert Lea, working with the city of Winona, has got 2,500 to do. So as you can imagine, it's going to take a while to pothole every service and pull new lines in and get a plumber to hook it back up. But that's what we're doing. Again, you guys having 25. That's actually less than that because I think the four that were said to be lead are actually not lead. We just think we have some galvanized out there, which falls in the same pile. But We've been working with the property owners on that. So I'll pause there. A lot going on. It's new to us. It's to be new to everybody. So it's exciting to get them ultimately eliminated and get led out of our service line. But it's been kind of a, you know, a federal mandate, but I guess they're paying for it. So I guess that's a good thing, right? So I'll pause there. Any questions, comments, concerns?
You mentioned the line from the road or from the service line to the curb stop. If you have a customer refuse, can you still replace that section to the curb stop?
We were talking about that internally. I don't know that answer. Ultimately, that's their private service lateral, so I mean that would be.
Yeah, but it's on the right of way, right?
It is so, in the public right of way, I would agree. But ultimately, your ordinance states that that's their responsibility, the private property owners. So then we were talking about private property in a, you know, public in the public right of way, albeit. And then what do we do with that? Something we're working on internally because I don't know that answer. The other thing with a galvanized line, why it's in the lead pile. Is because when they're in the galvanized lines from the houses, they call it the gooseneck down to the main, has a small section of lead, just so stuff settled, it kind of was absorbed the movement of the ground. To your point of if we get that replaced, does that get the remainder of the galvanized into the home, does that get them off the list? That's the question that we've posed internally. I don't know that answer yet, but we're working on it. So, or the other thing to talk to the attorney about, if we want to go down that road of replacing private property in the public right-of-way is another conversation, something we got to consider. So
yeah, I've always been of the opinion that if it's in the right of way, we should just own it ourselves anyway. So maybe that's something we can consider too.
Majority of communities in southeast Minnesota have private ownership all the way to the main, but there is some that do own out in the street that the city owns what's in the
from the shutoff valve to the
main. It does exist, but majority are 100% private. But something we can have a conversation too about that if needed.
Any other questions for Brandon? If not, I'd take a motion to approve the resolution for application.
Make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Ryan. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
All right, second item tonight. Good news is regarding the shared use trail under Highway 14. Past council action, we applied for some funding through MnDOT. To ultimately kind of, I'll say, upgrade this shoulder of Highway 57 underneath Highway 14 from, call it the subway, the Daniels Plaza area there on the east side of the road. We have a sidewalk that just ends and kind of nothing underneath 14 there, so we see a lot of people walking on that shoulder. So we're looking at upgrading that, adding some curb and gutter, and getting a full-fledged trail through there with pedestrian ramps, et cetera, underneath Highway 14 to connect into the pedestrian ramps that we built on South Manorville Avenue there at the County Road. Near our park and ride, and then the trail that we ultimately just constructed here that you guys approved the final pay application. So we did that, and you can see here we got funding for that in the tune of $570,000. So it's pretty competitive, and we quite frankly haven't even finished our last LPP project that we're doing with the 57 project, so I was surprised we got it, but good projects get funded when you got engineers reviewing them because they see, you know, what's good. So
I told them that I told them we were going to get some.
There you go.
He wasn't sure to put it in. I said, go.
It's your positivity over there, so it worked. Yeah. So good. But yeah, you can see there was still they awarded $2.4 million and there was $3.7 that was not funded, so because it is ultimately competitive. So no action tonight, just letting you know that that's happening. And don't ask me a construction date because I don't know yet because it's going to be in fiscal year 27, 28, or potentially 29. And if we think we may want to advance construct before some funds are there, we'll work on that internally. But may actually line this up with our other project on the north side of 57 there for urbanizing that rural section. Might do them all at the same time, but that's something we're working on. We got a lot of stuff for this year before we jump into future years, but something we're thinking about. But so no action, questions, comments, concerns, happy to answer them.
Well, that's good news. Next.
All right, third and final item, since we're talking about getting all this grant funding, is another funding opportunity called the DNR Trail Connection Grant. That actually is a program that we've been pretty successful. We just, like I mentioned earlier, finalized your final pay estimate for that project. That was the trail along the frontage road and then the trail up in Prairie View Park that we connected in to some other parks that private developers constructing. So got to get some reimbursement going for that to get that money coming. And this basically is the same program. Staff has shown a couple trails there, shown in yellow. Ultimately, from the Schramm subdivision there on the north end of Veterans Memorial Park. They are constructing a trail that we've coordinated with them to that point, and that is essentially going to end at the gravel road that goes on the west side of Veterans Memorial Park along our wellhouse area there, and essentially pave that out and connect into the developer trail there. So you can see in blue, those are the developer post trails that'll go all the way up to 16th Street. So ultimately, people can come out of our aquatic center, Veterans Memorial Park, take a trail due north, get over to 16th Street, and then, as we know, that trail along 16th Street goes everywhere. It goes into Manorville, goes east, potentially all the way over to Byron and Oxbow, something that is being worked on at the DNR level. So I think it's going to be a great asset to kind of close that gap and just provide great accessibility for our bikers and youth to get to the pool. So that's one part of the project. The other part is to continue the trail on the south side that we just built from the commuter lot to the west to Maple Grove Cemetery and connect into the cemetery area there. That's shown up on the map there. And then there's some, with the future phases of that development, potentially extending that farther to the south to serve our future growth to the south. So that's what we at staff level brought up. I will note one thing that I maybe want some conversation on tonight or ask for. This is a 25% non-state city match. So ultimately we're looking at leveraging 75%. The maximum amount that we can ask is 250. This project here may not hit that max, just looking at it. I mean, it's pretty simple. The one up by the Veterans Memorial Park had already been graded out. We'll just probably just pave that. So I may ask the council, is there other, if I had some other trails that we could add to this application, is there any that kind of come to mind? Specifically ones that I kind of was thinking or talking about with Public Works was the Prairie View area. You know, that trail kind of ends and goes due north. We could run that to the west by the soccer fields. There was some talk about maybe the Lions Park area, extending down, going across the river and coming into the southwest reconstruction area to kind of get an outlet for that area. Was talked about, we obviously got to cross the river there, so that might, you know, drive some cost, of course. Or actually continue south out of the Maple Grove Cemetery there, along the west side of the proposed housing unit for future trail to Ian's future park down there that's kind of in plan as part of that area. So
I mean, I think all three of those are decent. I mean, Ryan, go ahead.
I was just going to say where that Prairie View, the path is now, where it comes off Prairie View, putting like a walking path or bridge over the creek.
Oh, up by,
yeah,
up on the north.
There are a lot of kids that'll loop around.
All the way down around
Prairie View. And then they'll go to where we've got it set up for snow plows to dump snow.
Yeah.
It's got it blocked there, but then they'll go down the hill and they'll go back up. They're just going up and down.
Sure.
It might be safer to have some type of path for them to go across.
We've Otherwise, talked about just, it at staff level a little bit. I think we might have an option for that. But it would be nice to integrate some stuff in. So
have to look at the grade of that. So yeah. We will be required to meet ADA well.
And that might be the other reason.
Yeah, let me look at that.
It might be better if we did that internally at the city level instead of trying to submit that for a grant. But
they've tried to make their own man-made pallet bridges to get across in the past. And I don't know how safe that is, but sure. Even there were 10 kids down there last night.
And actually have a bridge. We actually own a bridge still that we could utilize that's in storage right now. So I think that's something we might do. I know I've talked with Bennett, Public Works, and you know Parks and Rec about that. So
have you looked up there by the Meadowland Park going to the school? The kids cut through there all the time. But that
we have, and Public Works and I talked about that. It's pretty wet back there.
Right, that's what I was worried.
Yeah,
you see them cut through there a lot, but it all depends on the
weather. Times of the year, it's basically a swamp. Yeah.
Are they walk through there year round? Like this spring, are they walking through there?
I don't know if they go through there in the spring, but I know in the summer and the fall and then in the winter when it's frozen, they'll cut. You'll see it packed.
Get a meeting with Public Works on Friday morning. Let me maybe go for a ride up there and look at that.
I'm just curious if it would work or not. That gets people near the track and to the schools from up in there.
Yep. No, it's on the map because, like you said, I guess just to show the blue dots are, you know, future trails. Those come from our comp planning process. So it's shown on there. So it was obviously acknowledged when we did the comp plan. So. Look at that, and I assume if we pass the resolution tonight, if staff comes up with another spot that maybe we think is best, we'll put it on there and kind of try to maximize that $250,000.
Sure.
Unless you guys object or direct otherwise.
So we're on the hook for
65.
That's if we hit the exact number, right?
If we hit the max.
If we hit the exact number.
So I know what the...
It would be 25% of that. You know, with that said, I think our last application, we didn't we were over the max, so our percentage, and of course, obviously, was less than the 75% match.
Right.
I'll say it was like 60, 70. But again, we're leveraging money, right? That's the discussion. We have a certain amount of money, and if we can leverage it, and this program has been successful for us, the city, so you know, something we should always be looking to do if that's the desire.
All right, thank you, Brandon. With that, I guess I would take a motion to approve the resolution authorizing submittal of a grant application for the 2027 Cass and Trail Connection Project.
I'll make that motion to approve.
Thank you, Ryan. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right. No personnel. We will have attorney, which would be closed session, so...
God grant you all wisdom.
Have a good night. Hey, Brandon.
That's you guys.
Have fun.
Question. Stop signs in South Fork, do we put those back up, or is that their HOA? HOA.
Private roads.
Private roads, all right. One of my coworkers lives out there, and he wasn't sure, so I said I would ask.
Someone called City Hall.
See ya.
Hi, Brandon.